Hey, deserving listeners, this is chapter 6 in our deep dive on neo-Nazis. The patrons voted for us to do a deep dive on this, and it has been quite a journey to learn about. Of course, you know, I've known about Nazis and neo-Nazis my whole life, but I had no idea just how big and scary and problematic the movement is today around the world. It is definitely not just an American problem. It is a movement that is occurring all over the place. So I want to start off by getting back to something we got to in a previous chapter, but we weren't able to go through the whole sequence that I wanted to get through because I feel like this sequence really ties everything together for me anyway. So I want to go back to a video that has to do with the shooting in Buffalo in 2022. Let's rewatch that. But first, let's introduce the podcast. This is the Psychology in Seattle podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. Kirk Hanna. I'm a therapist, and I'm also a professor.
My name is Humberto Castañeda, and I'm a book reader for hire, because a lot of people don't like Audible and those things.
So. Okay, so this video is from Vice on YouTube.
In May 2022, a domestic terrorist murdered 10 black people at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York.
The alleged shooter wearing full body armor and tactical gear, targeting people of color.
Reportedly written by the shooter, where he describes his perceptions about the dwindling size of the white population.
So you hear that one of the motivations for the shooting of those innocent people in that supermarket, that grocery store, was this idea of replacement or of white people going away. And when I first learned about that, of course, when the Buffalo shooting news reports were being reported, I must have heard those words, but I didn't know what they meant at the time. And I thought we would go...
Or it was a one-off or something.
Yeah, just like some wackadoo person. But there are probably millions of people around the earth that believe this idea, and not only just believe this idea, because, you know, we talked about in a previous chapter of just like, well, a lot of specific groups of ethnic groups or racial groups or whatever we want to call them will probably not exist in the future, just like there were ethnic and racial groups in the past that don't exist today because of change or, you know, immigration. And so, but what they believe is that it's a conspiracy to wipe them out, genocide of white people. And the only solution is to fight back and to kill. So let's watch another video. So this happens. This is something that happened in Norway.
Before his attack, the Buffalo shooter released a manifesto on Discord, largely centered around a conspiracy theory known as the Great Replacement, a fantasist notion that there's a shadowy plot to replace white people in Europe and the US with non-white immigrants.
Forced mass immigration, population replacement.
So, Berto, in a nutshell, Great Replacement Theory. Remind us again what this is.
So it started with a French author, Renaud Camus. It's not the famous Camus, I guess. But
it's right, not, it's a different Camus.
Yeah, in 2010. And he just wrote a couple books. And basically it was, in a gist, it's essentially that there's a conspiracy. There's a conspiracy to systematically replace the white population, but rather through violent, bloody genocide, through just ethnic immigration and replacement by... and replacement via some sterilization methods that are covert and also just the overwhelming numbers.
Like vaccines?
Vaccines, but you know, in 2010 it was pre-pandemic, but certainly there were already a lot of conspiracies around medicine and
like soy probably was
exactly right,
because that explains
reducing testosterone in males.
Was that all part of the Camus thing?
Not directly.
People who followed.
Yeah, because the whole ideology is that because it's one thing, someone could have written a book saying, hey, you know what, we've looked at trends of birth rates and they are declining in these populations. We might need to, that's not what this was. It's a systematic, purposeful.
Conspiracy,
eradicating the white population.
And involving millions of people.
Right.
In every country that wouldn't be involved. And you have elements of science and agriculture and the government and society.
And anti-Semitism, of course, because a lot of the people in charge of the conspiracy are the Jews.
Right. So I just made the connection that Alex Jones and all of his nonsense is probably related to this too, right?
Oh, he of course believes that the Great Replacement is in action and is absolutely being enacted.
Right. So, you know, in the past, prior to doing this deep dive, I would have considered all these different groups to be disparate and maybe slightly related, but there's a lot of adherence to these central ideas that were, or at the very least, are central to the neo-Nazi movement, right?
Right. And in Camus' case, this French guy, a lot of his fears were around Muslim immigration because, you know, there a lot of that is happening and has been happening in Europe. So a lot of the fears were specifically around Muslim immigration. Hmm. But of course, it's been expanded and it's like, no, it's any invasion of another population. Not to mention the Muslim fear as well. Good. Like, it definitely includes the Muslim fear.
The obvious truths about the ongoing program of genocide against my race.
Predictably, the people supposedly running this plot are the Jews.
Jews will not replace us! Jews will not replace us!
So we've already rewatched this scene a couple times, and it just points to how it's central to the Unite the Right rally, because that's what we're looking at right now. And it's a mainstream idea within these groups. Not only the white replacement theory, but the idea that Jews are behind us and Jews are trying to replace white people. So let's continue watching.
The Great Replacement conspiracy theory has been doing the rounds since around 1916. Great Replacement theory was popularized by the French white supremacist Bruno Camus.
Okay, so a brief history that I'm sure involves a lot of different elements to it. So they're confirming what you were saying earlier.
Well, and certainly, like, the Nazis, obviously, way before this Camus dude, the Nazis felt that there was a risk of, I mean, I don't remember if they were literally saying the Great Replacement. I don't think that phrase, but the same thing. Like, basically, we are at risk here of our pure Aryan heritage being diluted by these dirty immigrants and these nomad peoples.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think there is an invasion. I think there is a colonization. Europe is colonized by Africa in a much more deeper way than Europe ever colonized Africa.
If you look at the kind of surge in popularity of Great...
So that's interesting. What he's saying is, look, yeah, we colonized Africa, but look what they're doing to us now.
And the
do you know how laughable that is?
Well, right. And one interesting little bit, like if you were going to add asterisks in there, one was like, hey, sure, we colonized, but we didn't intermingle that much with their people, which A, they did, but B, that was considered bad to do.
Yeah.
Right. And that, whereas they're coming here and they're actually marrying our people, and there's a lot more of them than there are of us.
Right. It has two major narrative shifts that are completely false. One, that the colonization of Africa and other areas of the world wasn't so bad because it demotes it, right?
Yeah.
And then what's happening to them is horrible, right? Yeah. And so you can, as white people, if you're looking for a way to make yourself feel better about your ancestors, then in one fell swoop, that idea.
Yeah, like if you're, oh, sure, we did. But if what you're talking about is coming and delivering, you know, technology and modernity to these savages, well, sure. But that's not bad, right? This is different.
Replacement theory. It's really in the 2010s, and it's really, really important to localize that to fringe internet culture, where these same ideas can gather speed, gather velocity, and gather popularity, and then spread from there to more mainstream spaces.
So that's another element that I learned in doing the deep dive that terrorizes me, that just is really scary. These online groups, and there are so many of them,
right.
And you know, in between these chapters, I've been, you know, YouTube has been suggesting a lot of videos to me about this.
Right.
And there are so many small and large groups that are completely cut off from the outside world, and we don't have any access to it because it's a closed Discord group or something.
Right.
That are every minute of every day, it's effectively indoctrinating all sorts of people.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of reasons why these things exist. It exists for reasons of just, well, we'll get into that in a later chapter when we talk about why would just a regular suburban teen become a neo-Nazi, having never been exposed to that information before. And of course, some people have, but later we'll get into that. But, you know, he mentions that this great replacement theory as the internet, you know, again, we talked about this before, that I thought with the internet and Wikipedia and the spreading of information and exposure to other cultures would eliminate this sort of thing. But apparently it just made it more easy to manipulate people to become extremists and cult members.
Yeah, basically, if you rewind the clock, well, even 50 years or whatever, you and I might go to the tavern or the bar after work and gripe, like, man, you know, all these white people arriving in our mixed culture neighborhood, ugh, right? But that's kind of where it starts and ends.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I can start my little online white group, white hate group, and recruit members or, you know, commiserate around the world.
24/7.
Yeah.
You know, memes and propaganda, contact,
right,
socializing.
In 2011, these ideas fueled one of the world's deadliest ever white supremacist terror attacks.
A massive car bomb shatters downtown Oslo. The target, the Prime Minister's office.
Anders Behring Breivik murdered 77 people in Norway, the vast majority of them children at a summer camp.
So what do you know about that attack?
Oh, yeah, I remember this. It's so horrific, man. I know that he was, an extreme right-winger, believed in all this stuff, and decided that the way to combat it was to basically go and start killing off the kids. So he got guns, and he went to this camp and started shooting kids, and it was a massacre. I remember when this happened, I was so lost in my head. I was like, I just can't understand that the human psyche can deviate so much that would cause someone to do that.
Right. So when this story first emerged, I don't remember the Great Replacement being a part of the,
the conversation wasn't there at that time.
No. Yeah. And what I walked away with was another crazy guy that had a bunch of guns and shot a bunch of people. And to be, if you don't know this story, trigger warning, skip forward a couple of minutes. I didn't know he bombed a building.
Yeah.
That's not the main part of the story is that he went to an island that had a children's camp on it. He has, you know, lots of guns and rounds, and he not only kills the kids, but he killed a lot of the adults that were there too. And the problem was, because it's an island, he effectively
had unfettered access.
Yeah. Well, but he essentially corralled everyone in front of him because he was killing people. Everyone ran to one, you know, the other side of the island, and they couldn't get off. They couldn't get away. And he just systematic, you know, as the kids and the adults were, you know, congregating and trying to get away, he just slowly shooting fish in a barrel, I guess is the phrase, right? And managed to kill, what was it, 77?
Yeah.
Then he was caught and put on trial, and he, I think, talked a lot about the white supremacy stuff. So again, when this story first came out, until recently, I would have characterized this as some wackadoo, but it's a part of a movement. That's what's so scary, that all of these people, the Buffalo shooter, the Pittsburgh shooter, the Unite the Right rally, the guy who ran over all those people in the street, they all come from the same cult. They all come from the same rhetoric and the same propaganda that all revolves around neo-Nazism.
The Christchurch mosque shootings, the El Paso shooting in 2019, the Buffalo shooting you mentioned, the 2023 Jacksonville shooting, all of them mention Great Replacement.
Right. And they might have all been in the same Discord server or very similar. And that's a game changer. That's a complete shift for me in terms of my understanding of these events.
And by the way, of course, as a, you know, if you were actually trying to stop the Great Replacement and be Machiavellian about it, these would definitely not be the right moves, right? Because it only works against your, like, it kind of creates hatred towards your people and belief systems.
Yeah.
And it only eliminates a few people at a time.
Right.
But you're saying that there's billions coming.
Right.
So these folks aren't actually...
It's not logical.
Logically thinking this through. But it's still being fueled by that fear and that hatred.
Right. In the same place of the conversation of the great replacement conspiracy is happening, there's talk about killing them all and wiping them out, you know, yeah, fighting back. Now, I understand that one of the motivations that they do this, that they logically will say, well, yeah, this isn't going to put a dent in the great replacement, but it will cause a race war. And if we can get a race war going, then we will win because we're smarter, better, you know, whatever, we're superior. We just need to light the match. And by doing this, it'll cause that problem. Charlie Manson was trying to start a race war. Right. He apparently, when he was killing the white people in the rich home of Roman Polanski's house, right? I
thought they would blame it on black people.
He tried to, they wrote graffiti and whatnot to try to make it look like...
Oh, I don't remember that.
Like die pig, it was anti-cop. And what they were hoping was that black people would be implicated, and the Charlie Manson group were pro-black people.
Right.
That's just so weird, you know? They were pro-black... And they thought that the black people would win if a race... Anyway.
And the last step is that they would be in charge of the black people.
Oh, really?
Manson and his followers would survive the race war
because they would be prepared. Identified as an ally.
Right, and they were prepared. And then they would, because they are superior, they would be elected to rule over all the black people.
And you just think about, you know, these white, young, impressionable minds during the era of protest and civil rights.
Right.
That... they would be pro-civil rights and pro-progress, and how Charlie Manson might have cynically just tapped into that somehow as a way to motivate his power, you know what I mean? Anyway, so, okay, so we have, you know, this great replacement. You have Norway and other shootings. It all builds up to the Buffalo shooting, but you talked about New Zealand, the Christchurch shooting, so we're going to get to that.
But Breivik's actions didn't have the effect he wanted. Even for hardcore neo-Nazis, the mass murder of schoolchildren, most of them white, wasn't something they could get behind.
This terrorist attack was not something that was widely adopted by the European far right.
But one man would eventually follow Breivik's lead.
So before they get into the Christchurch mosque shootings in 2019, although what Vice is saying is that the neo-Nazis of today don't look to that killing as a valid action, there are plenty of memes and, you know, propaganda pieces within a neo-Nazi movement that absolutely uphold that man as a saint in their movement, right?
And by the way, I didn't know or remember. I must have known at some point, but I didn't remember that it was actually targeting the kids from the other party or whatever. So I think that's probably why he gets idolized so much, because in this weird, distorted, horrible way, he was seen as being done a blood sacrifice on their own blood to make a point, right?
Right.
It's interesting because you could say, earlier I was saying how like a lot of these one-offs where they go and kill N number of black people or Muslims or Jews or whatever it is, that by itself is so counterproductive to their own ideals. But and then you were pointing out that yes, and they think it'll start a race war. But this guy in his head, and probably in some of the other supporters' heads, was taking it a step further, saying, well, I'm not going to bother with that. I'm going to go after the people that are standing in our own way to make a point. And,
right.
You know,
yeah.
It's crazy. It's not unlike what Hitler would do with his own German white opposition.
Right.
They would also get shot.
Right. You know, they might admit, I mean, you're welcome to be part of our in-group.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to be part of our in-group, then you're just as bad as the enemy.
Yeah.
And so you're...
We'll start with you, in fact.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. How horrible.
41 killed in one location alone, 7 at another mosque, and 1 person dying in hospital.
The man who is claiming responsibility and charged with murder is an extreme right-wing white supremacist.
I don't remember it being 49 dead.
Oh, man.
I mean, my God. So I think what Vice is saying is they learned from the lessons of the Norway shooting to say that, hey, Yes, absolutely. Kill, but don't kill white people.
Don't kill white people.
You need to target the people that we're trying to get rid of.
Right.
The collaborators are bad, but the brown people or the Muslim people or the whatever people,
they should be the targets. Yeah.
You know, they need to die. So you can imagine the killer, the Christchurch mosque killer, he is observing that conversation and think, oh, okay, well, here we go. Right.
Now, why were they saying New Zealand? I thought it was South Africa.
No, Christchurch is in New Zealand.
Oh, okay, okay. I'm sorry. I got that wrong. All right.
An Australian white supremacist named Brenton Tarrant carried out a devastating Islamophobic terror attack, murdering 51 worshippers at two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand.
So again, we've been talking about how this is a global problem. And we don't normally think of New Zealand as being this weapon-crazed murder
camp. Nor Norway.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And yet,
we
some of the
point
worst.
To Norway. I was like, look at great progressive.
Blood. Right. Yeah. You know, some of the worst shootings regarding neo-Nazism and the white replacement theory conspiracy were not in the United States. And that's a whole other level to the scariness of this.
In the U.S., of course, huge amounts of Islamophobia, especially after 9/11, all these things. However, the main theme of these movements in a lot of the European countries, and apparently in New Zealand too, is anti-Islamic, anti what they call the African invasion. Here, a lot of the focus is around the Jewish threat, and certainly other races, especially Latino,
black,
dirty. Well, obviously, but it's like they don't think that there's a lot of black immigration still happening. They just would rather not have that, but. But most of the immigration they see as like all the Southern mudbloods and all powered by the Jewish cabal.
Right? Right, right.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. When we get back, let's continue watching this disturbing video.
Let's do it.
All right, we're back from the break, so let's continue watching.
Tarrant explicitly modeled himself on Breivik, citing him in his manifesto as his true inspiration, and sharing his delusional self-image of being a kind of medieval knight fighting to defend European civilization.
So yeah, I didn't know this. I didn't know that there's a through line of inspiration and copycat crimes, and that these are groups of people, you know, because we talk a lot about mass shootings in the United States and how there can be copycat mass right. shooters. And sometimes, arguably, it's within some echo chamber, some problematic echo chamber, like with the Elliot Rodger manosphere. There's a similar propaganda action that's happening online. But some people seem to just be upset and angry, and they don't really have an agenda or a political ideology. They're angry and they want to kill, and then they might kill themselves as well.
Yeah.
And those are copycat, but they're not necessarily being influenced by an online propaganda machine that goes back to Nazis and goes back to the eugenics movement of the early 20th century, late 19th. So when normally hear about these shootings, I would typically categorize them all in that group of, you know, maybe they're influenced a little bit online, but, you know, like Columbine.
Yeah.
Those guys weren't following some ideology. They were influenced by things, but it seemed to emerge from within them. It wasn't yeah. some calling that they were answering to, right? With these folks, though, these are, you know, looked at in a certain way, these are soldiers in a global army against a particular enemy that yeah. doesn't have national borders. And that's a much more scary prospect, because you have organization and you have influence and support and sainthood for these people. You, if you're upset or disillusioned and you want to be worshipped for all time, you know, by at least a group of people online, then that's going to be
the kind of people you would even care about in the first place.
Right. Then it helps to motivate to do this yeah. and justifies it. It might even supply you with the means and the education. And that is scary.
Yeah.
They say the man streamed his massacre live from a body camera.
His manifesto was spread in a specific way online, where he referenced memes, where he referenced sort of the internet culture he was a part of and came out of. The key.
Right. So they're highlighting one of the sentences of his manifesto, so to speak. And he's saying, I have provided links to my writings below. Please do your part by spreading my message, making memes and shitposting as you usually do. So that's terrifying because this individual felt supported and is predicting support afterwards and will probably get support afterwards. This isn't just some wackadoo person with a wackadoo motivation. This is someone that feels like he's doing his part, feels like he's doing something for the greater good, that he's on the right side.
Yeah.
He's a part of a larger organization and of a conversation. It's a cult, and it's a violent death cult, and that he would sacrifice himself. He probably knew that he would either die or go to prison, and he's like, yeah, absolutely, it's worth it, right? And how do we combat this, right? Because online discussions, you know, like with Discord, yeah. they've been having some problems because of things like this, because the way that Discord is run, it doesn't really moderate much, right? Like, tell us about Discord.
Well, so you can create your channel, and you're kind of expected to moderate your own channel. You
know, server, they call them
servers. Your server. And, you know, and then each server, like, you don't see, unlike Twitter, where it's sort of like publicly visible.
Right.
When someone's posting in Discord, if you're not part of that server and that and those channels, you just don't know what's being discussed.
Yeah, you don't have access. Also, for Facebook groups, I believe there are algorithms that will try to identify problems and flag things, right? Like, you can't just talk about...
That's right.
Like, you can have a closed group on Facebook, but
right.
there's still some moderation of topics and flagging of things. Whereas for Discord, they've had the philosophy of, look, it's your server, and unless someone flags it,
then
we're never going to look into it.
And before Discord, and even now, and still now for sure, then you have the public 4chan, which is public. Anyone can see it. You don't have to, there's no limits. And it's just that, A, the content is not like permanently searchable, let's say, and two, everyone's anonymous.
Right. But, and people are anonymous on Discord too.
Right,
but Discord,
but the difference is Discord's not publicly visible.
Right, so Discord creates the feeling, and it's real, that there aren't outsiders. You know, yeah. On 4chan, there's an acknowledgement that, well, other people might see this. So,
but that's part of their point.
Right.
And so 4chan, especially the /B channel, is historically where a lot of these things originate and where they fester and where they congratulate each other. And not everyone is. Like, I used to be not active. Like, I wouldn't post a lot, but I would check 4chan all the time 13 years ago, roughly. Like, 10 years ago. I was actively a lurker on 4chan. And it used to be kind of fun. I had to avoid certain threads because people, for whatever reason, loved posting gory images, like people being killed in gory ways. And I never had an interest in any of that. But a lot of the other discussions, what I thought was kind of fun and funny about 4chan is there were a lot of creative people on it that would come up with very funny memes and threads. As an example, they would do things where someone would come in and you'd see this whole discussion where people were talking about penis inspection day. You're like, what? And they're like, oh yeah, does anyone remember, like the post would start. Do you remember back in high school or in grade school and middle school where they would do penis inspection day? And of course that sounds ridiculous, but then someone would post, totally, oh, I thought I was the only one. And then all these people kind of winking at each other, but pretending like it was real. They would have this long thread about it.
And of course, there'd be occasional people sprinkling in of like, what are you guys talking about?
Exactly.
And yeah.
And they would love that because they would love the lurkers that didn't know.
Right.
And so, but anyways, I actually found a lot of enjoyment in those kinds of things. And that was like maybe the least creative of them. There were many creative ones. Horror stories they would invent, the creepypasta, all these things. But there was also this undercurrent that started getting bigger and bigger of complete anarchic nihilism fueled with racism.
Yeah, and misogyny.
And misogyny.
And yeah, two things. One, I don't understand why you're not on Reddit if you liked 4chan. But two, because I use Reddit all the time and you don't. But two, this is another aspect that I didn't know about the neo-Nazi movement of today, which is that a lot of people will be recruited into these neo-Nazi groups online, and it will start like what you're saying, where it's an in-group, there's a language of sarcasm and a willingness to, you know, like the debate around rape jokes or pedophile jokes or Nazi jokes.
Yeah.
In the past, in particular, it was considered funny by most people to make those kinds of jokes.
And by these groups specifically, the idea, and I remembered relating to that feeling, was like, there's no boundaries in humor.
Right. And of course, for yourself, you would say, well, of course, rape is wrong.
Yeah.
Misogyny is wrong. But we all understand that. But it's still kind of funny to joke about it. You know, who's the joke on? It's sort of like with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. They have a lot of racism and misogyny and other kinds of things. Is it a joke on
the victims or on them?
Yeah. Yes. And for It's Always Sunny, it's a joke on them.
Yeah.
But when you're in these online groups, you know, where's that line? And what seemingly will happen for folks is, you know, then some Nazi jokes or racism jokes, right, get kind of thrown. I guess it'd be racist jokes, like, you know, black people or, you know, Jewish people. And even though the individuals that are consuming that and seeing that wouldn't be baseline racist, you know, other than the general racist and misogynistic notions that we all are indoctrinated into, but not extreme. And, you know, at first they're just like, well, I know they're joking. But then it just slowly becomes the norm. And then over time, as a young impressionable person, you just start thinking, well, you know, it is kind of, because, you know, you joke about that. And that was the thing about those kind of jokes, is that you joke about it enough and eventually you start believing in it.
Well, and it would get interspersed, because I remember this as well. But then someone would make a serious post of like, all kidding aside, here's some research I came across. And then, you know, and that's how, oh, well, I didn't know that.
Right. Yeah.
And so unfortunately, like, yeah, it's this environment where there is a reward for making the right joke and the more offensive one and the crazier thing. There's a reward for disrupting society. Cause like, if you are able to like have one of your memes show up as news on a news channel, oh my gosh, you are praised. This kind of murdering is like an extreme version of that. Like, okay, well, I'm going to live stream the things that we're all joking and talking about. I'm going to live stream me actually doing it.
Right, like this guy's talking about.
Exactly.
He's talking about, I have provided links to my writings below. Please do your part by spreading my message, making memes, and shit posting as you usually do. I'm going to kill 49 people and feel free to shit post later. Like, in what world? So if you're not in this world, then you're thinking, what? But if you're in this world, then you know, if you know, you know. And it's, if you're not in this world, you might think, well, these are weirdos. No, no, no. Most people, young people, at least dip into this world. You know, the world that we're talking about, they're in some version of it. And it doesn't take much, you know, like you might, people watching, you might have younger siblings or your own kids, people in your family that are in this very moment without you knowing anything about it, currently in one of these forums, in these Discord servers or in 4chan or 8chan or whatever, and they are being very slowly indoctrinated into some of the most horrific notions, not just like slight racism, but like absolute militant right-wing neo-Nazism, great replacement theory crap. I mean, look at QAnon. That's how QAnon, there wasn't a preacher on the corner. It was all these idiots in these echo chambers online being influenced and, you know, going down. I'm sure there are studies around this of just like, how do these groups, these insular groups who are talking all the time, how do they start here and end up over here?
Yeah.
Is it something happening from the outside? Is it just a natural tendency of divergence because there's a tendency to want to? Because of course, you know, if you just say something normal, you don't get a lot of engagement. Because the same rules apply within these groups, right? Yeah. The same rules apply on Twitter, right? That if you do a tweet right now and say something like, most people are good, but, you know, a couple people are bad. But, you know, we can work on it. If you say something like that, you're not going to get a lot of engagement.
Ooh, vanilla.
Yeah. But if you say all black people are X, Y, or Z,
you get a lot of engagement.
You get a lot of engagement, both hate and agreeing. the same rules apply within these servers, totally. Right? If you just say something kind of normal that everyone understands, then you get like, whatever. But you say something controversial. And I just wonder if the sociological phenomenon is such that no matter where any group starts, they eventually, if they are cut off from the outside world, they will end, I'm sure there's probably studies. They will become more and more strange because of that tendency.
That's quite possible. So I've mentioned this before in the podcast. When I was younger, I had this belief that my brain was powerful and immune to influence. And I think a lot of younger folks believe this implicitly. So on these servers, part of the thing is like, kind of getting into this mindset, like, I can't be shocked.
By younger, you're talking like in your 20s and 30s.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant when you were 5 or something.
Well, I'm sure I did. But no, I'm talking about as an adult, but younger. By the way, in parenthesis on that, like as an example, I used to love watching the most horrific horror movies I could find. And then what happened was when I had my first kid, I went to watch Human Centipede 2. And Human Centipede is a movie that I enjoyed. It's horrific, but I enjoyed it. But Human Centipede 2 is presented in this way where it's the whole premise of it was that a fan of the Human Centipede movie tries to reenact it in real life. And it's presented more like as a low budget kind of thing. And it's even more horrific. And it's kind of more gritty and almost real. When I went to watch it after my first kid was born, my daughter.
I will say that's a great premise for a sequel.
Yeah, but when I went to watch it, I actually had to stop because I had developed some weird sort of like, especially I remember there was like a girl in it. And like, these are real, I mean, it's not real people, but these things happen in real life and somewhat, it's something triggered in me that had that changed.
Right, so we could say a lot of things. We could say having kids. Yeah. We could say just getting older. We could say going through experiences. Like, I find for myself that it's much easier for me to automatically have empathy or sympathy for people when I went through what they went through.
Exactly.
And as I get older, I have more and more bad experiences.
So you can empathize more.
But when I was younger, I wouldn't necessarily know. And so as you get older, it's studied that people tend to develop morally prefrontal cortex, whatever.
But some people like, apparently not, because there's a lot of older folk that seem to get less empathetic.
But research shows that even for psychopaths, antisocial, other personality disorders, without treatment, they tend to improve over time and lesser symptoms. Not always, of course. But my point is that we have a shit ton of people that are the ages between 12 and 25 who are online. And I don't know how old the Christchurch shooter was, but he didn't look old.
Right.
So you add up all of this activity, it's only going to get worse.
And what I was leading to is that when I was used to be active on 4chan, it was actually before I had my first daughter and then a little bit after, but I also kind of prided myself and placed the value on the idea that I can handle any joke, I can handle anything, like my brain is kind of immune to it. Now, I actually would explicitly avoid the really gory posts, but in my mind, I was like, but I'm choosing to do so. I could handle them. I just don't want to. And I've learned that this is all a fallacy. Like, it's not real. And the younger the brain is, I think it's even more vulnerable. So on these forums, in addition to the racism and all these things, they're exposed to actual constant, very, very graphic images of deaths, dismemberment, gore, and extreme pornography. And I'm not being Ted Bundy here. I'm just saying that I believe that by being immersed in that world, they are desensitized. And they're almost kind of some of the trigger human empathy is reduced.
Mm-hmm.
And then you top it with the racism and the misogyny and stuff. And then you get an environment that can breed these unfortunate situations.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, you slowly habituate to violence and interesting images that are garnering attention, and those are the ones that are going to float to the top of your page, that you become less and less concerned about human life and could lead to people becoming temporarily psychopathic, right? All right, well, so let's take a break, but when we get back from the break, it'll just be for patrons of the podcast. And I can't wait to get to this because this all culminates in getting to neo-Nazis today and Tucker Carlson. So we're going to, all of what I'm talking about is leading up to Tucker Carlson, one of the most famous and most followed media individuals of all time, who is saying great replacement language in his rhetoric. Whether the followers know it or not, they're being swayed by a neo-Nazi conspiracy theory, which is even more terrifying. So if you want to see that, become a patron of the podcast. Otherwise, please take care of yourself because
you deserve it.
All right. Welcome to the Patron's Own patrons. Love you so much. Let's get to the rest of this video here.
You can't find a single person who's tried to do an act of like right-wing inspired terrorism who hasn't been influenced or doesn't reference Tarrant. It's all Christchurch copycats all the time.
Just 1 month after the Christchurch shooting, a gunman killed one person and injured two others at a synagogue in Poway, California.
Shooting around 11:30.
So this is another element that I didn't understand the true terrifying nature of originally. You know, I'd heard about some of these mass killers would live stream.
Yeah.
And of course, it has to do with wanting attention, wanting to have a legacy of some sort, wanting approval or whatever. And I would characterize them as that type of killer that just is struggling or is independently motivated. But through the research that I've been doing for the deep dive, it's all part of a collective understanding of this is the procedure. You live stream so we can all participate and we can learn from the mistakes. We can enjoy what happens and it gets you a lot of hits, you know, because I don't seek out those live streams. I don't look for them on LiveLeak or whatever, right? Because that's the, that's the YouTube with no moderation, right? But for these people and maybe even young people that aren't neo-Nazis, just regular young people, they do seek this out or they are fed this in their forums. And it's a whole world in which I just didn't know existed, right? You know?
Yeah. And it's also with the rise of live streaming in general and for video games, live streaming, you know, shooting video games, it's just like part of the youth culture is I'm going to show you what I'm doing. Now, 99.999% of that is I'm playing a video game I like, or I am doing a craft that I like, or I am simply going to the park and I like it and I'm live streaming and it's part of the culture. But so now it's like, well, what I like is I like fulfilling these fantasies that we've been talking about and being a martyr in that sense. So I'm going to live stream that. And if the technology didn't exist, it would have been just the manifesto. But now there's the technology to be like, well, you can watch my manifesto enacted in real time.
Right. It's much different than just reading a book that was published 5 years after the fact, because that's what you would have to do in the past, right? But now there's so much to participate in and be influenced by.
He walked in with a rifle.
He cited Tarrant as an inspiration in a letter posted to 8chan. Then in August 2019, 5 months after Christchurch, shooters in El Paso, Texas, and at a mosque in Bærum, Norway, also carried out attacks after posting online that they were directly inspired by Tarrant.
So these other attacks, I don't remember hearing about. They're not as famous.
Right.
So, and of course, I've known through research that there's a lot of mass shootings and killings that are never reported on, at least extensively, to the level that I would learn about it and remember it. And so when you look at just the number of direct copycats just to the guy in New Zealand, and that doesn't take into account all the other copycats from the guy in Norway or some other shooting, you know. It's chilling to see those connections and to know this is a community.
Right.
This is a group. It's an online group, but it's a group of people who are working together to kill in multiple countries in multiple locations, you know?
Yeah. And these are only the like extreme murderous outbursts or outcrops from this. But imagine all the actions that didn't result in murder, but were still horrible. and all the people in power who denied things to all these other races and groups, inspired in many ways by these things, right?
Yeah.
So you'll never hear about any of those, and yeah. those are in the billions, you know. Yeah.
And then yeah. the politicians who, in order to get votes, will appeal yeah. or are from these groups themselves.
Yeah.
It's not just pasty white kids in front of their laptop in their bedroom. It's everywhere.
And not seeing a connection, because you'll hear the politicians, like we saw with Trump and stuff, saying things like, well, I mean, we condemn the violence. However, in the same sentence, however, we are being replaced. Or that we are being invaded. It's like, well, you're still, you could say whatever you want. You're still encouraging all of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, exactly.
You're not cooling down any jets.
So we'll get to that when we get to Tucker.
Yeah.
Both Breivik and Tarrant have become memes, sometimes pictured as warrior saints. Live streams of far-right shootings attract a string of sarcastic inside jokes and shitposting.
50 is a great score, Brenton.
I love you, Brenton.
Congratulations, Brenton, on 50 insane kills.
In case you didn't catch that, those are a bunch of people blurred out who are posting publicly their face, congratulating the killer in New Zealand for scoring 50 points.
Yeah.
Because he, according to them, had killed 50 people.
And that's that video game reference that I mentioned where it's being treated as like he just scored a high score in a popular video game.
Right.
And the reason we even have those videos is because, again, they're posting it on, that's not even on a private secret Discord server, that's being posted live or yeah. publicly.
Right. Yeah. Because they think it's okay to do so.
Because they feel like there's a community that will have their back if.
Right.
Yeah.
That they're normal, that it's acceptable. All right. So this next video is from the YouTube channel called DW Documentary.
Right-wing extremists today are stoking fears of immigration and what they call the Great Replacement.
The Great Replacement is when the majority population, the native population, is displaced and replaced by a minority.
The new right's ethno-nationalist ideas are accompanied by racism and anti-Semitism.
So I just wanted to watch a little bit of this video because it visually drives home the notion that this is not an American issue.
Yeah.
This is happening in various different countries. All right, so this next video is from the Young Turks, actually. They published a video called Tucker Carlson Goes Beyond Dog Whistle Racism.
So this story doesn't need a lot of setup because we all know who Tucker Carlson is and what he actually does for Fox News, which is to put a clean face on white supremacy. Here he is yesterday defending or perpetuating the white replacement theory.
If you had said, well, you know, Tucker Carlson, he is talking about neo-Nazi ideas and he's talking about the Great Replacement Theory, I would say, well, he's probably saying some, you know, things like we need a stronger border, we need to put up the wall, talking about how poor people are welfare queens or whatever that thing, you know, there's all this kind of dog whistle, not directly saying something racist, but it is a dog whistle to your followers that we all know what we're talking about. We're talking about black people. We're talking about brown people. We're talking about Mexicans. I would have said, you know, yeah, he's probably saying stuff like that, but he's surely not talking Nazi shit, right? So let's get to this.
That the left and all the little gatekeepers on Twitter become literally hysterical if you use the term replacement, if you suggest that the Democratic Party is trying to replace the current electorate, the voters now casting ballots, with new people, more obedient voters from the third world. But they become hysterical because that's what's happening, actually.
Yeah. So, it's a great tactic, and he uses it to great effect with his audience, of course, to say, like, you basically preempt the complaint, right? You're like, hey, I realize that the crazy lefty loons are going to lose their mind, but someone's got to say it, right? And essentially, that lets off this weird, like, steam valve, right? But then, he uses the words, because he could have used, to your point, he could have used different words, like, you know, the left loses their mind, but, you know, they are allowing the drug cartels to come in, right? But he had to use the word replacement. I mean, I guess in this clip,
he... Well, Andy's referring to have used it before.
Right, right.
And how crazy they get. So this isn't the first time he's talked about it.
Now, in this clip, he didn't use the word great replacement, but he probably has. But in either case, he made sure he used that specific term, replacement. Now, if you think about it, because he's not saying, oh, the Democrats want to expand the population so that there is more voters that vote Democrats, which is already a problem for him. But no, he's saying replace.
Right.
And that's very purposeful.
Right. Well, let's rewind it, actually.
Now, I know that the left and all the little gatekeepers on Twitter become literally hysterical if you use the term replacement, if you suggest that the Democratic Party is trying to replace the current electorate, the voters now casting ballots, with new people, more obedient voters from the third world.
So once again, you just use, let's stay within his little realm of ideology. Hold on. Wait, do you mean replace literal? Literal replace? Because how fast are we talking? Like, are you saying that they bus in all the immigrants and they cancel the voting rights of everyone? Or worse, do they kill them? Like, what do you mean? Because he's not saying expand. Which again is still, he's saying they're going to replace them.
Right.
And I don't know if you'll get into this, but there was this whole thread of many different topics that he covered, including, remember the infamous infrared light on your balls?
No.
Okay, so he had, because a lot of what his thing that he would do is about the falling birth rates. Right? He doesn't care about the falling birth rates in other, he cares about the falling birth rates here of white people, but essentially
Alex Jones and the frogs. And
right.
The,
so he would do
gay.
All these things about like how to increase your fertility and your testosterone and your sperm count and all these things. One of them was irradiating your balls with infrared light. That's supposed to, you know, and why would he do this? Why would he care so much about people's fertility?
I'm not a physician, but wouldn't that do the opposite?
Well, infrared light maybe has, but listen, whether it does or doesn't, why would he care?
Infrared light is literally just heat.
Yes.
And I'm, it's my
but
understanding.
But the red light is supposed to stimulate skin cells and stuff. And whether or not it has a positive effect.
So your scrotum is very healthy, but. Yeah.
Why would Tucker care so much about people's fertility?
Yeah.
Maybe he cares because maybe falling rates in China.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what
Japan.
He's lots of liberals lose their mind when you say we need to increase fertility, but aren't our birth rates falling in China?
I think fertility rates are falling
everywhere. I'm just saying. Yeah. Anyways, two can play this game, right? So therefore, it wasn't just this message with the replacement word. There's all this stuff about birth rates, and which is why they love the Duggars, which is why they love the. It's like you gotta get those white numbers up and stop the non-white numbers.
Yeah. So again, the little I knew about Tucker Carlson, I would have surmised or guessed that it wouldn't be hard to find things that were racist that he was talking about.
Yeah.
But to have him actually using language of the neo-Nazi and using it not just as a like a Trump way of saying like stand down and stand up or whatever the fuck he said, whatever cosplay.
Stand by.
Whatever sort of.
Stand back and there's stand back and stand by.
It's just LARPing cosplay bullshit. Like they have all this language. It's just like you're just a bunch of, anyway. So with that, it's like this signal, like wink, wink. But with Tucker Carlson, I would imagine that he actually believes or is strategizing that if he uses, because the reason why the great replacement theory proliferates and motivates so much horrific behavior, very self-damaging behavior, right? Alienating everyone around you. You know, if you're a neo-Nazi, none of your family or friends, you've lost all of them, and literally killing people, going to prison.
But they were going to be replaced anyways.
Okay. But the reason why it's proliferating is because it tugs at notions that are already in existence, either literally a Nazi propaganda influence or just the influence of racist notions that is everywhere.
Yeah.
And so you tap into that and you can use that to gain power. And you can convert people. So for Tucker Carlson, I wonder if he strategized or has been indoctrinated himself. It's hard to differentiate sometimes that he's like, I want, because he's a media person. He wants to, he's like me. Yeah. He makes content and he wants to be noticed and he wants to provide value. And he undoubtedly follows his ratings and his likes and all that kind of stuff, particularly now, right? And so he probably thinks, okay, well, I've limited myself to this group of people. They're probably racist. They're probably white. They're probably right wing. Well, what works on them? Well, if you amp up their fear and amp up their desperation and amp up their specialness, then you get even more loyalty because they turn to you as that leader. And also it alienates them from all other media, even other conservative media outlets, right? Like a lot of Tucker Carlson's followers probably don't watch Fox News anymore because right. he was fired from Fox News, right?
They're too liberal. They're too left-leaning.
Right. And so it's a very effective way, apparently, of getting cult members yeah. that will follow you
no matter what.
No matter what you yeah. do, no matter what happens. And so, anyway, let's continue watching.
But they become hysterical because that's what's happening, actually. Let's just say it. That's mm. true. Mm. So right. this matters on a bunch of different levels, but on the most basic level, it's a voting rights question. In a democracy, one person equals one vote. If you change the population, you dilute the political power of the people who...
So the word dilute, and he's not just saying replacing with just anyone. He's saying third world countries.
Yeah. Okay, so there's several components. Absolutely. Number one, I think if the message was... hey, listen, I got to talk about a serious subject. As we all know, we tend to lean Republican. We prefer the tax cuts, and we definitely don't want abortion and stuff like that. So we want Republicans to stay in power. I got to let you know, here's some charts where immigrants, especially, let's say, illegal immigrants, seem to vote more. They can't vote. Okay, fine. Well, they're letting them vote. Fine. But they vote more Democrat. So we don't want that. But see, even that, as horrible as that is, That's too like statistics and like that's too complicated. So simpler than that is replaced. You're being replaced and you're being diluted. What's being diluted? What can we dilute? What dilutes? Liquids dilute. What kind of liquid might be we talking about? Blood maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It cuts right to the core.
Yeah.
He's not even talking about a particular policy.
Nope.
Because if he were to talk about abortion, a lot of immigrants are anti-abortion.
Right.
He's not talking about any idea or any right. law. It's just cutting to the core of fascism, that's which right. is fear of the other, and we have to fight or you will be eliminated.
So, because, you know, let's say, okay, so these immigrants are more likely to vote Democrat. Question, why? Well, because, you know, they're very atheistic. Oh, you mean the Catholic countries south of the border are all atheistic? Okay, fine. Well, why else? Well, because they're going to give them benefits. Oh, because the Democrats want to help people that don't have anything. Okay. Now, remember, they can't vote still, but fine. Well, let's go along. None of that discussion. Too complex, and actually it might reveal some truths we don't want to reveal.
Right.
Instead, replaced, dilute.
Yeah. Dirty people.
Dirty, third. Which
world? Third world.
First, second.
Yeah.
Third world.
You know, those gross... We've already indoctrinated you yeah. into the notion that third world countries refers to particular countries.
Those countries with like authoritarian governments,
yeah.
and where they're hardline Christian government. Oh, wait. I mean,
yeah. live there. So every time they import a new voter, I become disenfranchised as a current voter. So
import a new voter. So you and I, Berto, because we're liberals, we just go down to the store and we import a bunch of third world
dirty. You go to Home Depot, right?
Yeah.
And like, you're standing in line, you just import them.
Like Amazon probably delivers yeah. them now, Prime delivery, you know, 2-day delivery. And then they undoubtedly vote the way I would want them to vote.
Right.
And they dilute.
Right.
They don't just, they're not just voting, they're diluting
right.
and replacing. Yikes.
I don't understand why we don't understand this. I mean, everyone wants to make a racial issue out of it. Ooh, the, you know, white replacement theory. No. This is a voting rights question. I have less political power because they're importing a brand new electorate. Why should I sit back and take that? The power that I have as an American, guaranteed at birth, is one man, one vote, and they're diluting it. No, they're not allowed to do that. Why are we putting up with this?
Yeah,
so I love it. I mean, it's a masterclass, really. He is so effective. at his target audience, right? Some reason, many of us are immune to this these techniques, but they certainly work with this audience. I'm going to say something that one of my critics could easily tie to something that is still not quite okay to say in public. So if I said they're replacing the whites, that's one step too far or two steps too far. It's the same thing with, you know, condemning both sides or whatever. So it's essentially like, hey, everyone wants to make this a racist issue. Did I mention white? Did I mention black? I didn't say anything. I mentioned third world countries. Aren't they white? I don't know. I mean, whatever. And this is about voting. It's about voting. It's the same reason the Civil War was fought. It's about voting rights. Who gets to vote?
Right.
Do you want to dilute the population of voters with all those people from the South that are... it's not about race. Oh, sure, they're different skin color, but that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They just dilute the population.
Yeah. And the liberals are just going hysterical.
Hysterical. They lose their mind. They literally lose their mind.
Yeah.
Over nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, over facts. Okay, well, patrons, that does it for the end of that chapter.
Another uplifting, feel good.
Yeah, because you just think about all... Because Tucker Carlson is essentially a mainstream media personality.
Yeah.
Who was on one of the biggest news organization channels of all time, Fox News. He was fired, but he still has millions and millions of followers. Tucker Carlson is essentially
been platformed on Twitter.
What?
He's been platformed on Twitter.
Yeah. In all likelihood, all of us, you listeners, you and me, Berto, there are people close to us in our lives and our families who absolutely adhere to everything that he says.
Oh, yeah. I know for a fact. Yes.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Do they talk about Tucker Carlson?
Oh, yeah.
What do they say?
So, as an example, while Tucker was still on Fox, this person would regularly email or send via some communication links to videos, or would simply say, you have to watch Tucker tonight.
Oh, my God.
He's finally going to cover what's really happening with blah topic.
Yeah. Now, you probably don't have someone in your family that will communicate through an unknown platform around neo-Nazi memes or something like
right.
that. But Tucker Carlson is within our lives.
Right.
Neo-Nazis, not so much. But neo-Nazi ideas, very much a part of our yeah. lives, which is upsetting. Now, I will say that I'm old enough to remember that this is not unique to our times today.
Yep.
Pat Buchanan would say stuff along these lines, and he was a mainstream candidate for the Republican nomination in 96 or something.
And by the way, sadly and horrifyingly, because I've gone back and listened to stuff from him too, and he would be considered a moderate in the current Republican field.
Yeah. But yet, quite racist and xenophobic. Yeah. And yeah, it's just another kind of scary aspect to it. And so, like I said, before doing this deep dive, I would have said, well, yeah, racism is a problem. But, you know, neo-Nazis, you know, that's a sliver of the problem. Neo-Nazism and what we would consider very, you know, the great replacement theory is absolutely a neo-Nazi idea, or at least it's one of their main tenets, and it, you know, slots into not only their philosophy, but from there, it branches out into extremism around not only just separation of race, right, but also fighting back. You know, they're trying to get rid of us. So we have the right to kill them because they're killing us. They're wiping us out. So join us next time when we continue down this depressing road. Now, at the end of all this, I do have some uplifting, positive developments, you know,
yeah.
a possible future that is currently happening occasionally, people becoming no longer a neo-Nazi, that kind yeah. of thing, and different ideas. And
also
maybe,
through the power of internet, ironically.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
So we can all be a part of yeah. that progress. And everyone out there, please take care of yourself because
you deserve it.